46? Não, 48. Hein?
So 46 years. 44. 44.
No, wait.
1944. No.
46 years ago,
1931.
Huh?
1931.
31.
Yeah.
They came, but I was already married.
Yeah, we had Jerry was 18 months old.
I got married in 28.
Your father
was still in Panama,
but he really traveled around quite a bit. Doesn't sound like he settled in one place.
Yeah, but when we got married, he was settled in Panama. Mm-hmm. We didn't go after that.
Then he went to Detroit.
Yeah.
And then he went to Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. He moved on Hamilton. Then they moved down Finkel. They had a grocery store there.
Yeah, I remember.
From there.
And then they moved to Dallas.
Was it from there?
Yeah. No. And then they went to Cleveland, didn't it?
I think they came back from Cleveland
to Detroit.
Yeah. They were in two places in Detroit, on Hamilton.
They always had the...
On Hamilton, from Cleveland, they came...
They traveled a lot.
But you stayed in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
The same time.
All the time.
So what happened after you graduated law school, got the bar? You were 23 at that time?
I was 23. Well, I worked, as an inspector. I graduated law school, and I was wondering whether I should get a position, try and get tied up with a law office, or whether I should wait a while and save some money and open an office of my own. I had a good friend by the name of Goldstein. We went to school together. We graduated together. And we both took the bar. He didn't pass. So, one nice day he propositioned me to go and open an office with him in partnership. His pitch was that he had a steady source of practice, that his brother was an official of Robinson Court, which was correct.
But that
Robinson Cohen was a big furniture store. They had a store on Hastings Street and one downtown. that his brother would hand him a lot of business through him, through his brother. We could have an entry into Robinson Corn. Business, contracts, or whatever, collections possible. Anyhow, it was a good pitch, a good song and dance. I said, especially I knew that he had to have me on account of the fact that I was a member of the bar and he wasn't. So, we rented a store, an office, above a store. We rented an office then. And I invested the money, all I had, and a little more than I had, to equip the office. And he had a desk and I had a desk, you know. He had his private office, I had my private office, and there was a waiting room. We were there a couple, 3 months. He was always busy. He was hardly ever in the office. He was always on the go. But nothing came in the office. I found out that his sister was working in a law. Downtown. And I did a little snooping. In his desk. I knew his sister was in the office. Because I overheard him talking over the telephone with her. So his desk contained a couple of abstracts, a typewritten brief with the letterhead from that office, you know. So I realized that he was unfair, you know. He wasn't a partner, he was just using me as a decoy. So we parted company right there and then. I had the furniture and equipment, typewriter. I was stuck with that. So I looked around for another office. I found one on Hastings Street where they just opened up a shipping agency. They were selling, you know, travel tickets, so with a different, more or less a travel agency. for different shipping lines. So I rented the part of that office. It wasn't bad. I got some business there, some legal work, but not enough to get rich on, you know, just barely make expenses. That didn't hold up either, because the government passed a law barring immigration. And the only bills that they could sell was through to Canada or to Cuba, you know, but not to the United States. So they didn't do much business. They couldn't exist. That they went out of business, and I pulled it up with it.
When is that?
Huh?
How old were you then?
About 24. Well, I got my belly full of that. I thought to myself, the hell is the law business, I'm going to go back and work at my old work until I save up some money and I'll do something else. Well, I never did save any money, much, until I started going steady with Mildred. Then I was serious enough to save money, and I did. Saved enough to buy her a big diamond ring, and so forth. But that was the end of my law career.
Do you have any regrets about that?
Not really. Not really. I wasn't fascinated by the legal work. I thought a lot of it is phony. It is. They use a lot of Latin terminology and a lot of hocus pocus expressions, but in essence, it's just the use of common sense. And I made up my mind I was never going to be a great lawyer. And there are thousands of plodding, grubbing lawyers trying to make a living. And I was not fascinated by that career at all.
How did you meet Mother?
That was fun. Yeah. I was told, now let's see, how were you? my father had a friend in Detroit by the name of Lieberman. Mr. Lieberman told my father that I should call a certain girl and that she would be a good shidduch for my father's son. Well, my father and mother bothered me to call that girl. Well, I went to Detroit.
I know that experience.
I was
that hasn't changed very much.
No. I went in Detroit and I called up that girl who happened to be Miss Kotinsky. Anyhow, her father owned a lot of real estate and that he was in the, that he had a store. And that he was wealthy, and that the girl had $10,000 cash to go with her upon marriage. The story was real enticing. Well, I've seen that girl once. She wasn't bad looking, you know. She was a nice Jewish girl. And I told her, I visited her over her house. We spent some time together with her, father, her mother. I asked all kinds of questions, you know. Anyhow, I told her that I would meet her again. And I had a date with her to meet her on a holiday. I don't know what the holiday was. Mama probably knows. Where is she? She can help me out. Mia?
I think she's downstairs.
I think I want her to get in. What was her name?
Harriet Kotinsky.
Harriet Kotinsky had $10,000 cash in her own name.
She had more than that, I think.
She had more than that, possibly. And that she had, her father was rich with real estate. Okay. And he was in the Bay Area. He had a store.
He had a men's store.
Yeah, a men's store. And now it was a schmaltz group. I couldn't afford to pass it up.
Yeah, it was a schmaltz pot.
A schmaltz pot.
So the
first time I met her, I made a date for a holiday.
It was Rosh Hashanah.
Was it Rosh Hashanah? Okay. Date was Rosh Hashanah afternoon. I met her, and she was a good Jewish girl. She didn't want to go to no show. It's a Jewish holiday. She didn't want to do anything. So she suggested that he take a walk to her girlfriend's house. So her girl, we did, we came to her house, Mama's house. Where did you live then? On Perry? No. Yeah, Perry.
But she lived on Henry
Street. And she lived on Henry Street. Well, we went to her house. And she introduced me to Mildred, and I was treated to coffee cake, strudel, coffee cake, and there was that girl. And she appealed to me right away. I liked her. Harriet, I liked, but you know what I mean. She
didn't turn you on.
Didn't turn me on in any way, shape, or manner. So I took Harriet home. And I went back to my sister's house, who was living in...
On
Medbury.
Mrs. Rosie?
Rosie. And I told her, I just met a nice Jewish girl, Mildred Kohl, and I am going to call her for a date. She knew about Harriet Kaczynski. She thought I was passing up a schmaltz spot, you know. Mm-hmm. Told me that I'm foolish to even do a thing like that when there's such a great opportunity available. Anyhow, I didn't listen to her. And I called Mildred. And she hesitated.
What did I do?
You gave me a date, though.
No,
didn't you?
I didn't. I told you that you were going with Harriet, and you got a lot of nerve calling me. And I told Harriet.
But how did I
get? About a month later, that you kept calling. Harriet said, "Well,
I kept calling you, though, didn't I?"
Yeah, but I kept saying you're going with Harriet and don't call me. And Harriet said, "No, he's not going with me anymore. He likes you." So it took about a month.
Do you remember that episode on Rosh Hashanah when he came over with Harriet and you fed him shrews?
I was wearing a yellow dress. To this day, he likes yellow because that's the dress I wore already. And he kept dying. Is that on? It doesn't have to be called? He kept eyeing me all the time. Every time I looked, he had his eyes on me. I thought, what kind of guy is he? That guy must be nuts.
That was your first impression of him?
Yeah, because he came up with a date. And that night, there was a dance, a Jewish dance, that every Rosh Hashanah night, there was a dance, every year. The Baker Pollen gave it. So, Jewish organization was trying. And he calls me up and he says, how would you like to go to dance tonight? I said, you're out of your mind.
I forgot that.
You're out of your mind. I said, you've got a date with Harriet, because Harriet told me that she was going to the dance that night. And I called Harriet up. I said, what's the matter with your boyfriend? I said, he calls me up to go to the dance tonight. Well, she told me that she had a date with him. So I called her. I was innocent of it. See, I didn't. She said, well, evidently he likes you better than me. And
Which was the truth?
To the dance. I said, no, I wouldn't.
Was she a good friend of yours?
Very good friend. We're still good friends. She lives in Chicago. I hope she's living here.
Nice person.
What year was this? This was Rosh Hashanah when?
It was
26,
because we went together for a year.
1926. Late.
In the fall
of 1926, yeah. September. That's right.
Did you have any other impressions of him? Did you think he was interested in you at that time?
I paid no attention. He just kept looking at me, and I thought, well, gee, maybe I got the wrong dress on. And I had a dress I bought at Siegel's, like Nino Marcus. Your mother used to dress gorgeous when she was little, when she was young. Mink coats and whatnot. No, I haven't got it. It took about a month. He kept calling me, and I was working, and wait a minute, there's another story. He kept calling me, and I lost track of him. Oh, no, we dated. We dated after a month. We went out, and we dated about till December. And his cousin Irving was getting married that month. And he told me that he'd like to get married. Well, I wasn't ready. And I told him
This was December?
In December.
Wanted to get married right then and there?
Yeah, because his cousin Irving was getting married and he wanted to get married. Irving was going steady too. We kind of double dated. And I said that I'm not ready to get married yet. I says, I'm not breaking up with you, but we can wait a while. And here's the exact words he said. He says, if you can't marry me, then put through. I says, fine. So that was it. We broke up. Meanwhile, we broke up for a whole year. Meanwhile, we had moved. And there's a lot of cones in the top of them. He told me that every day he calls so many cones, right? Finally he got a hold of my number. And he called me. He said, this Miller? And I said, yeah. He said, this is Louie. And here's the exact words I said to him. When did you get out of jail? And I laughed about it, and he laughed too. He asked me for a date then, but somewhere I had another date, and I couldn't go out with you that week. Remember, about 2 weeks later, and meanwhile, I was going with a fellow from Canada that I liked very much. He was living in Detroit. Then we started dating, and
the wind-up was, we got married. Got married January 1928. January the 1st.
That was it. That's the start of my life.
Where were you working at that time?
I was a buyer for Coles Miller. It happened to be the same name as my name. I was the buyer, and the store was next door to my dad's store. Mm-hmm. That's how I met him. So, he
That's
came.
That's how you met the people on
yes,
the store?
Yes, very nice. And I started real young to work there, like on Saturday. But he liked the way I was doing things, and he asked me when I graduated high school, he asked me to work, and I loved it. I was really making a lot of money at that time. I was making $40 a week at that time.
So you were, meanwhile, you were working back as an inspector at that time?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do after you got married?
What?
What did you do after you got married? What happened then? You went on a honeymoon?
Yeah, we went to Chicago. And we stayed at what hotel?
Morrison Hotel.
I remember that. Yeah. We stayed there that time we went to Tammy's wedding.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But that's all I got.
Then I went to work as an inspector.
Where did you live?
With her folks.
Oh, you moved in with her folks.
I never moved out. We stayed there for a few... We stayed there until Jerry was born, mm-hmm. Right? And we moved to an apartment.
Who was living at home?
Just my brother was born. That's all. Because he got married after I did. So it's just...
Did he continue to live there too?
No. He got married to Sarah and moved to Chicago. So it's just myself.
Well, how did you feel living with your in-laws?
They were very pleasant people.
Very nice. Very happy.
They made me feel very comfortable.
They liked you, they loved you, they really did.
Yeah.
My mother and dad and my Uncle Hans were crazy.
I got along swell with you.
You didn't mind living with them?
No.
There was a minimum amount of friction.
There wasn't there?
No friction at all. No friction.
I can't recall ever getting aggravated.
In fact, when we're ready to move, they felt terrible. But I figured it was time to move on, so. And we had a very happy marriage, although we weren't rich, we were poor, I think. But we were comfortable. We had hard times.
Yeah, we were never broke.
Never, because
we always had
got along what we had.
A nest state to fall back on, under all conditions. And we would live through terrible conditions.
And but we managed very nice. We always had enough to eat, enough to wear, and we were very contented and happy. Mm-hmm. My kids were, Jerry was well taken care of. He always wore the nicest clothes.
Did you work before you got pregnant with Jerry?
I was in the third month when I quit.
You continued working as a buyer for that store?
Yeah, it took 3 months. Then I quit because I didn't feel to do it. Although my boss was sure about that. He was a wonderful man. He came to our wedding. He came to the bris. He always gave me such nice gifts, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Story of our life that we have lived all these years, we've been very happy. My children were good, never had any sickness. They were healthy, and we were very happy with them.
Well, let me find out some more facts. So after you got married, you moved in with your wife's parents.
Right.
And you lived there for the next 2 years?
No. About a year and a half.
Well, how did it work out? Like, who did the cooking?
I did my own cooking. That was the understanding that I would live with my folks, that I would live my own cooking, that I would cook whatever I wanted for my husband, and they could do their own cooking. So we had it under those conditions.
Is that what you did?
Uh-huh. I used to cook for him.
I wasn't interested too much in that, on that score. All I wanted is food. And I got plenty of that.
You didn't care who prepared it.
I didn't care who prepared it or how.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned to cook then. I didn't know how to cook.
She had her arrangement with her old mother, you know.
But sometimes that can be a lot of friction.
No, there wasn't any. There was no friction whatsoever.
Was that a big house?
Yeah, we had three bedrooms, a beautiful house. Very modern. It's a new house. We had three bedrooms.
It was a beautiful house.
We had a bedroom, and my brother's other son Joe had a bedroom. After the baby came, the baby slept with us, mostly in Joe's room, because he was crazy about it.
Jerry
used to lay on his head. It's Sunday, Joe used to be out, you know, late, come home. Jerry would wake up, and he'd get in his bed. And he'd never get mad at him. I'd go in the room, and there he was sitting on Joe's head. Joe never cared. He loved him.
Where did you move to when you left your parents?
We moved to an apartment at the university. It was a very nice apartment. Real modern, nice. It was a one-bedroom large apartment. Had a real large bedroom. He slept with us. And then we lived there. Then we moved on in a flat on, what was that street? Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Pasadena in Detroit. We moved down Pasadena in a fourth flat.
In a fourth flat.
It had five rooms, two bedrooms down.
That's a big apartment.
No, it's a fourth flat. It's
four apartment buildings.
Yeah.
Four units.
But you had an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot nice size apartment. We lived there until you went. Then you, when did you start working for John Hancock?
I started working for him in 32. Then, before I started working for him, in 1931, during the Depression, I had the proposition to go in business. To go in business in a wholesale
National Biscuit Company.
And a wholesale distribution of biscuits and candy. I was the local distributor for National Biscuit Company of Battle Creek, Michigan. The setup was pretty good. But the conditions were terrible. We moved to Cincinnati, where the agency was located.
Well, you were the agency.
Huh?
You were the agency.
Yeah, I was the distributor.
Yeah. And you lived there for 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
But I'll tell you what happened there. It was, see, Cincinnati, he had an office in an arcade building, and it was very hot that year, and it's like in the valley, and there was no refrigeration. We had candy and halva and all that stuff just
chocolate coated cookies.
Just melted away. So.
Damaged the merchandise.
Mm-hmm. So we
on top of it all. That was the last straw. On top of it, the conditions were bad.
Very bad.
If you sold anything on credit, you could kiss it goodbye, no matter who it was. If you sold it for cash, it was hard to sell.
It was hard to sell even if it was in good good condition.
Yes.
Yeah.
But things were tough. The groceries weren't doing if they didn't order. If they ordered.
I had some good accounts, like the Board of Education, but there wasn't enough. Then I lost money in there, and I had to give it up. So I came back to Detroit, and...
That's when you went to work for John Hancock?
Went to work for John Hancock.
And you worked in Detroit?
Yeah.
For about 4 years, maybe 5 years?
For about 4 years, as an agent. Mm-hmm. Then I got appointed assistant district manager and worked for the same company in Grand Rapids. And it was a dog's life. I went for about a year, I stuck it out. I had to work day and night, try to support a staff of 5 people. I finally gave it up and went back to Detroit as an agent. But I was despondent with the business. I was unhappy there.
Then you went to work for the government, didn't you?
So I quit them and went to work for the government.
You were happy there.
Well, I was happy with the government. I was back in inspection.
Mm-hmm. Where was Don born?
Detroit.
Was that after you came back from Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Don was born at your cousin was the doctor, Dr. Burstyn. Or was it Arnold? No, your friend.
Berkey
was Dr. Don's doctor. They're all born in different hospitals. And Arnie was your cousin, Dr. Bernstein.
Yeah.
And
what period of time were you a milkman? When was that?
After I quit, after I quit the insurance company, things were bad in the factories. I couldn't get on as an inspector. That was the first time I had ever had any difficulty getting a job.
Well, things were so tough.
So there was the opening for a milkman. And I took that.
We used to travel in zero weather and, oh my God, snow up to your knees, big other stuff.
How long was I met there?
But you made a living with that anyway. You were milking a couple of years. But the winter was terrible. The snow was so bad. Break my heart, you got two.
Well, I worked. I made a living.
Yes, you made, because you couldn't get... At that time, there was a lot of people out of work. They were really out of work. And there was no help from anybody. He worked hard at anything, but he supported his family.
Do you...
Then I took the job as a governor.
Right.
From the milkman.
And that you stayed with through World War II, right?
Through 45.
Well, what was the... How is it that your parents ended up in Dallas? Did any of them... Did they have any relatives at that time, or...?
No, they didn't. They started out to really go to California.
No, to Arizona.
Oh, Tucson. Arizona, that's right. Because his father had asthma very bad. Very bad. and he went to Arizona and thought that was...
And that was about 31, I think.
Exactly. I think Jerry was just a name. Just a baby. And they left.
They left Dallas.
But what happened?
In the depths of the depression, you about see, 31.
It was bad when they left. It was so bad. It was so bad. They were going to Arizona, as I understand, you know, it was Friday, it was Shabbos, and they didn't want to travel on Saturday, so they stopped in Dallas.
In Detroit.
They stopped in...
In Detroit.
Stopped in Dallas, they were going to Arizona.
Oh, you mean on the while on the way?
Yeah, they stopped in Dallas, and you know, he went to shul there, and got acquainted with some Jewish man, and he kind of liked it there, so they decided to stay on, and that's how they happened. They really weren't going to Dallas, they were going to Arizona.
Who went to Dallas? Who drove them?
There was,
who was
Nathan and Angie.
My folks, Nathan and Angie. No, Angie went to Rose.
Stayed in Cleveland.
Nathan and Helen.
And Nathan drove the car himself.
Nathan drove the car.
By himself.
I don't know, I think the car broke down in Dallas.
Yeah. This is your what you hear the story. What's your version of the story?
My version is that they traveled towards Houston, towards
Arizona.
In Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. Somehow or other, they wound up in Dallas, and. I imagine they were going the southern route towards El Paso and then to Tucson. But their car broke down. They had to stop. So they wound up staying in Dallas. Anyhow, they managed pretty well in Dallas.
Your mother went into business.
Yeah, she went into
Nathan got a job. Nathan, he was working and helped support the family. And Angie was working.
Yeah.
They all were working and kind of helped support the family. Then his mother opened up a little place, made money there.
A hole in the wall.
Business. You remember that.
Like a log closet.
It was like a doorway.
Yeah.
It just had a door, no window. But they made money. And you never heard the story of your daddy, though, when he went to Dallas. You went there twice, didn't you?
Do you visit your parents in Dallas?
Yeah.
Without mother?
Yeah. No.
You never went without me.
Yes, I came here once, twice before without you.
We visited
with you twice.
You never went before without me.
No.
We went together. The first time we stayed at, we stayed with Marion.
They were on Sanger Street.
Yeah, we stayed with them. And that was the first time. The second time, Nathan kept writing you and calling you to come to Dallas, that why stay away? You're the only one away from the family. Come over and we'll go in business together. We'll open a grocery store, because he already had one. Well, the wind-up was that he ended up working for Nathan, which he wasn't very happy about. And I don't know what happened. You just quit? Or you were laid off or what?
I was laid off.
I was laid off then. And then he went looking for another business. And I don't know how he ran into this Draper Cleaning. That's when we opened. Came home and said that he rented a place or bought it. He didn't really buy it. You rented it at the time.
I leased it. Okay. I leased a business. He advertised it for sale. I contacted him. And I, he wanted
$4,500 for the business.
I told him that I wasn't experienced in that line of work. I don't know if I can make it go or not. I am willing to buy it and try it, but I can't buy it unless I'm reasonably sure I can make a living out of it. And I have to make a living for my family. And I gave him a proposition. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Mr. Ashmore says, I'm willing to take it off your hands on a lease arrangement with an option to buy. I'll pay you so much a month, and if I can see my way clear to make a living out of it, I'll pay you $4,500, the amount you have. He says, let's go to my lawyer and we'll work it out. So we went. Anyhow, when I got in the business, Mama and I, we decided that the lease arrangement was too much on the payout, that we'd be better off to buy.
So by that time you felt comfortable in it.
More or less, yeah. Took an awful chance.
When we went in there, there was work piled up practically to the ceiling. Nobody took care of it. The work was there. So we just started working. We saw that there was business that they'd call up. They wanted pickups. Of course, we didn't know too much about it, but we ruined some stuff, but we paid for it, and we learned it the hard way.
Yeah, after I got in there, there was a colored woman who was running the place for Rodney,
doing the
work.
She was supposed to be the manager.
She was practically the manager.
Knew everything.
Yeah.
The first day, mind you.
So no sooner I took over than she quit. She went
for lunch and never came back. And we hunted for
her.
We didn't know how to run anything. The fluters.
So we were stuck, but we worked out of it. Made a living. Well,
that comes to a part that I even remember.
Yes,
you should. Used to come make boxes.
Sure.
Remember?
What part are you missing?
Well, I'm confused about a few things. First of all, when your parents went to Dallas, they took Helen and Nathan. Angie went to live with Rosie
for a short while.
And then she joined
it. She joined it. Now, then Rosie came to Dallas after she lost her first husband.
And he committed suicide. What's
in
the story behind that? Do you know the story?
He just couldn't take the depression.
It was very bad. He
lost everything he had.
Uh-huh. couldn't take it.
The business went to pot.
He was at one time a big, he had quite a big business.
He was a quite wealthy man. Lost everything.
Couldn't take it.
So just.
Well, I saw him the day before he came to the
city. He just couldn't take it.
He was visiting my in-laws. And he said, and let me tell you, my in-laws were pretty down too, because I remember it was a very cold, cold winter. There was hardly any cold in the day. And I think Anna was there with Sandra. She was a baby.
Yeah.
With Oscar.
Well, things were bad.
Things were bad. And he'd come to visit. I guess he thought he could do something in Detroit. So he came and visited and saw things were so tough. You know.
Don't you remember his rich brother?
They didn't do anything for him.
He asked me how he can get a job as an inspector.
Yeah. He had a very rich family in Detroit, old time rich. And then he said to me these words, he says, "No, to live like this is better to be dead." And the next day, he got back to Cleveland. He took the poison. She rushed him to the hospital, they pumped his stomach. It was sad. And Rosie had, at that time, she had Petey. No, she had Petey and Shirley.
She had all three. Yeah.
Shirley.
So then, after that, Rosie?
She didn't have three. She only had Petey.
No, she...
The little girl died before.
The girl, the daughter that died in Canada.
Yes, she had... I know that, though. She had three. Because I remember the daughter. I remember.
She had,
She had, oh yeah, Shirley and, yeah, that's right.
Jackie's
mother.
I don't know her name.
She had it.
Well, okay, so Rosen came, but Marion and Anna, at that time, we're married already, right?
Yeah.
Anna lived in St. John at the time. Marion lived in Chicago. And then they all came to...
They all came
well,
to Dallas.
Things were tough in Chicago, too. They all came to...
Dallas seemed to have been the best place economically in the whole country.
At that time.
They didn't suffer in Dallas like they did in up north.
So, sort of like a second immigration for the family.
Yes. Yeah. They all came in time. We were the only ones that lived in Detroit. And his mother and Sean came to visit us a few times.
I'd have probably been there yet if I hadn't have been coaxed.
Yeah, well, he made a big proposition.
Why is it that you were the last holdout?
Because I was comfortable. I was making a living.
Didn't hold any appeal for you to go to Dallas?
Well, I had nothing to go to.
Let me tell you something.
What would I have gotten here that I couldn't get there? A job? You know.
Well, and the truth of the matter is I didn't want to leave my family.
And she didn't want to leave.
My family, my friends, I was very happy there. You come in a strange city, you got to meet friends all over here.
How was that?
I was very lucky. And
I wanted to be in get in some business established by myself. Some business. Where I didn't have to work for anybody. And that was the outlook I had in coming to Dallas. As Nathan promised.
He didn't really give us anything. Because we sold a house in Detroit. And we had money from business. He didn't give us anything. Nothing.
He said, if you come here in Dallas, there's a big grocery store that we're going to buy. And you're going to run that as in partnership with me in both stores, and you'll be running one store, I'll be running the other.
But it didn't turn out.
Didn't pan out.
Well, what about your visits before? What were they like?
What?
Just visits.
What were the visits like before? What were your impressions when you first came to Dallas?
About what?
About Dallas.
I like Dallas.
When you went there on a visit?
I like the city.
Yeah.
And I like the climate.
That's
I was suffering every winter in Dallas,
in Detroit.
My sinus gave me a fit in Detroit every winter. I couldn't breathe. So I wanted to come to Dallas for that reason. Also, having my family here had an attraction for me. So when I came here in Dallas, I started working for Nathan. I asked Mama to sell and come here. And she was writing me letters. Giving the alibis why she couldn't come to Dallas. She couldn't sell the house, she couldn't sell furniture, she couldn't leave her folks. So I wrote her a letter and told her she could stay in Dallas, in Detroit, and I'll stay in Dallas. If she didn't come to Dallas,
well, that
prompted her to.
Why didn't I want to leave Dallas? Is because I lost my mother,
yeah.
And I didn't want to leave my daddy. He lived with me.
I understand.
And I just couldn't leave him.
But I couldn't see.
But
Detroit.
My uncle, when he should rest in peace, came to my rescue. He came over the house. He said, "Look. You belong with your husband." He said, "Our dad will live with me. I'll give him a good home. You don't have a man." They were very strict approach. "You'll have a happy home with me." And she came over and told me. And my dad said, he says, "Look, you're married. You belong with your husband." He says, "As long as I'll live with Hepsel and Brunet, I'll be happy. You go ahead." Well, then I went, because I wasn't going to leave my father. That's the truth. I wasn't going to leave until my Hepsel came to see. Meanwhile, my sister was living in Chicago then.
Well, I